you have the Bible with you, you may care to have open Matthew chapter 13 that we read earlier. We've been looking at parables, and last week we were doing a couple of the parables in this chapter, the hidden treasure, and we considered detectorists going across a field with their metal detector and finding something of great value and then going and buying the field, because if you buy the field, you buy everything that's in the field. And so you give up everything in order to have this great treasure. And also the one who goes searching for pearls and finds this pearl of great value, pearl of great price, and sells everything in order to possess it. And this is a picture of the greatness and the wonder and the value of the kingdom of heaven, that people should be like these people finding a hidden treasure or finding this great pearl, that they're prepared to give up everything in order to have the kingdom of heaven, to possess the kingdom of heaven, in order to gain all that the kingdom of heaven has, because it is far, far better, far, far superior to anything that this world has to offer. And indeed, not only selling all that we have, but also giving up all that we have in terms of status. David Mackereth was mentioned, and he works mainly in accident and emergency in hospitals, and has done for many years, and he was doing a training course in order to assess people for disability allowances. And he was told, you must address a person by their preferred gender identity. And so if he was talking to a man who said really he was a woman, he had to address him as she. And David said, but that is contrary to reality. It's contrary to biology. It's just daft. And I can almost hear David expressing himself. And they said, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that. Feelings matter more than reality. And so therefore he was kicked off the course and he was not allowed to do that particular work. He was prepared to give things up for the sake of the gospel. And he points out, and it's, I think, well reported, he said, when people talk about equality and inclusion, what they mean is excluding people which don't agree with their kind of equality. After all, I am the most handsome 21-year-old you have ever seen, aren't I? You can't disagree with me because that would hurt my feelings. Indeed, I am the best goal scorer that England has ever had. And really, I should be in Russia at this moment, but they don't recognise the fact, which is disgusting. And is this not contrary to the Equality Act? As soon as you start talking like that, you say, well, that's daft. Of course it's daft. The Equality Act is daft. The whole concept of inclusion as it is applied is daft, because it is contrary to reality. So you can just imagine someone suing the police. I'm sure someone has had this in mind, and they haven't done it yet. But you can see this coming. Someone goes and sues the police because some 5'2" woman wants to become a policeman, a male policeman. And they're told, I'm sorry, but you're not tall enough to be a policewoman, let alone a policeman. I think it's 5'8", but I'm open to correction on that, in order to be accepted into the police force if you're a man. And I think it's 5'6" if you're a woman. Well, isn't that discrimination? That's disgusting. Why can't 5'6" men be allowed in? And you can see what nonsense arises when you start applying this to real life. And it's sadly the way of the world. And it's how I feel that matters. But then, if how you feel matters so much, how come they trample on the feet of those who disagree and offend them greatly? Such is the way of the world, when absurdity is exposed for the absurdity that it is. But this is merely an illustration of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is more important than anything else. This week we're going to consider the parables on either side of the parables that we considered last week. So the first one is the parable of the weeds, and the second one is the parable of the dragnet. So the parable of the weeds is found in Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24, down to verse 31. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds. And the Greek word suggests that these weeds are a species of grass called darnel, and it's sometimes called false wheat, because in the early days of its growth, it gives the appearance of wheat. And it's not until it begins to bud and to put forth seed that it becomes obvious this is not wheat. And so it's possible for someone to do what is done here and to sow the false wheat amongst the real wheat, and it's not immediately obvious. So when the plants came up and bore grain, notice it's only when it bears grain that it becomes obvious, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.'" Now, parables, as we see, have a meaning. Sometimes there is one, two, or even three meanings within a parable. The purpose of parables, as it says earlier in the chapter, is not to mislead, but in some ways it's to befog the minds of hearers, except those to whom the reality is revealed. This is in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So, verse 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, fulfilling what the prophet said, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." And then it's revealed, verse 36, he left the crowds and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." So he does. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, sowing the gospel, the good news about what he came to do. The field is the world. It's everywhere, the world. And the good seed is the children of the kingdom. So the seed is spread throughout the world, and people believe it and become sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, those who do not repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels and will gather them out of his kingdom, all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as with the parable of the sower, where Jesus says, let he who has ears, let him hear. Is this a pun? Because when wheat grows, it puts forth ears of grain. And so is Jesus punning here and saying, he who has ears, he who is the true grain, let him hear? Possibly, possibly not. It's difficult to be certain. But what we have here is a picture of the world as it is. You often hear people say when some disaster happens, when there is something particularly evil takes place. We hear too often about mass killings in America. Someone decides that he is justified in going around killing people. You hear children taking guns into school and killing their fellow classmates for no good reason, they would give a reason if they survived, but there's no good reason that they could give. Perhaps it's because someone had offended them. Perhaps it's because someone looked at them in a funny way and they took offence and they thought, therefore, they must retaliate. And so often retaliation goes beyond the offence, as it certainly does when you go around killing people just because they've looked at you in a funny way. But people often say, why does this happen? Why is this happening in the world? It's 2018 after all. Can't we just learn to live together? And you often hear people speaking in that way. Many years ago, at least 100 years ago, reputedly, a man by the name of G.K. Chesterton responded, and this is all reputedly, I was looking this up this morning, and the G.K. Chesterton Society website says they can't find a source, but it's always attributed to him, and it's always attributed to something in the Times, where the Times said, we would like people to write in and tell us what they think is wrong with the world. Indeed, G.K. Chesterton did write a book, you can buy it from Amazon, called What's Wrong with the World? So Chesterton wrote into the Times and said, you asked, what is wrong with the world? I am, yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. Often people would end a letter by writing, I am, yours sincerely. So you write, blah, 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 I am, yours sincerely. But what he was saying was, what's wrong with the world? I am. I am the problem. And that is true of everybody. What is wrong with the world? Everybody should say, I am. Because the problems with the world are us. Now, there are some, they go by various names, but people who, this is not the organisation, but people who would say that they are friends of the earth, people who might be described as tree huggers, people who say that the problem with the world is humans, and if only we can eradicate the human race. And occasionally there are films or television dramas which work on this basis, that you get someone who goes around killing people. There was one James Bond film where the bad guy has a space station from which he's launching globes containing plants which will kill off everybody on Earth except those who join him in his space station. And they just wait a little while for all the unpleasantness to end, all the people are dead, and then they can repopulate the world with perfect people. The only problem is, they're still people. They still are the problem with the world, because the problem is in the human heart. The problem is sin in the human heart. Why are there problems with the world with some places too much rain? Like in Thailand at the moment, and those children stuck in that cave system. Why is there problems in the world like tsunamis causing death and devastation when huge amount of waters come ashore? Earthquakes decimating areas of land. Volcanoes spewing out hot lava and what looks like snow, but is in fact pumice. And it comes raining down from the heavens, and often killing many people. All sorts of natural disasters. What causes all these natural disasters? It all goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of Adam and introducing sin into the world. And consequently, all of us, as descendants of Adam, have inherited Adam's sin. And so we are the problem. One day, whether it's today or not for 1,000 years, we don't know. But one day, Christ will return. And all sin will be eradicated. And that's what this is talking about. One day, all the problems will be solved. At the moment, the seed of the gospel is being sown around the world. It's being done in various ways. Sometimes it's individual people just chatting with another person and presenting them the gospel. In Other ways, it's through radio broadcasts so that thousands or millions of people can hear the gospel just by tuning in their radios or tuning in their televisions, the satellite broadcasts. And we just hope that it's decent broadcasting and not the rubbish that is so often broadcast. If you tune in, for example, to the God channel, I think it's badly misnamed. The God channel contains all manner of rubbish. There might be the occasional good program, but generally speaking, most of it is rubbish. And some people seem to be addicted to it, and they will spout to you what they have heard on the God channel. And we've had someone here who was saying to me about how NASA has proved that the Bible is true, and he made reference to Joshua's long day, and I had to tell him that that was not true. NASA has not proved Joshua's long day. But it's said on the God channel. Yeah, but the God channel is just spouting rubbish. It's not true. NASA has not done this. I told them also about the story of James Barclay, who was supposed to be a modern day Jonah, who was swallowed by a whale and given up for dead. And a few days later, they caught the whale that had swallowed him. And lo and behold, when they cut it open, there was James Barclay, alive. Perhaps not well, but alive. The story is complete fiction. It is not true. And if you want more details, you can buy D.E. Hart Davis, Jonah, Patriot and Prophet. I have a box full at home, in which I added an appendix all about James Barclay and demonstrating why the story is fiction and should never be repeated. But sadly, people hear this and they, oh, isn't that wonderful? Must be true. And it's not true. And any unbeliever you tell it to and say, here is a good example of how we can prove that scripture is true, they go and look it up and say, it's not true, that's fiction. So therefore Jonah must be fiction. Joshua's long day must be fiction because NASA have never proved that it's true. Charles Darwin was converted before he died. Look, here's this story about how this lady went to visit him. It's not true. And yet so often people think that they are helping to uphold the scriptures by quoting these stories, but that's all they are. They're stories. They're not true. No, we must communicate what is true. And we must be rigid about this. If it's not true, it's not true. And we must say so. But we must tell people that the Bible is true. What the Bible teaches is true, and that we all need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus sow the seed, whether on an individual basis or on a mass basis, through some form of modern communication. But at the same time, there are the sons of the evil one. Those who continue in their sins. Those who refuse to repent and believe. Those who will not listen to the preaching of the gospel. These are the weeds that are growing up. The harvest is the close of the age. And notice that in the parable, these servants say, do you want us to pull up the weeds? And he says, no, because if you pull them up, you'll pull up the good stuff as well. Wait until the harvest when you're going to pull them up anyway. When you harvest the lot, then do the separation. You get people saying, why does God wait to deal with such wicked sinners until the judgment? Still in the minds of many believers is the thought, sin produces judgment. And this is in the minds of unbelievers as well. And they use it as an excuse for not believing the gospel. And you talk to them and they say, so, you believe in God. Let me prove to you that God does not exist. God, if you're there, strike me down. And nothing happens. There you are, I've proved it. God doesn't exist. And that's the mentality of many people. They think, and you hear people, there is that very unpleasant group of professing believers, Westboro Baptist Church, who go around denouncing just about anybody and everybody. And they would say the reason why some disasters happened is because of someone's sin. This has happened because of sin. Why was there that massacre in that school? It was because of their sin. It's because they were teaching evolution or something. It happened because of their sin. They deserve that. That's why it happened to them. Which is not what the Bible says. We observe today that there are people, godless people, wicked people, who live to a ripe old age, some over 100. And the ungodly will say, there, that proves it. You don't have to be a Christian in order to live a long life. And look at this person, a young Christian, and they've died. Clearly what you're saying is wrong. Well, of course it is wrong. Jesus makes it clear in Luke chapter 13. When disasters come, it's not necessarily because of wickedness. But it is a reminder to us that life is short and we must prepare for the coming judgment. And we must prepare for the coming judgment, which is partly what this parable is about. The judgment is coming. Here we are in the world, believers and unbelievers. And it will be clear to all, come the judgment, who are the believers and who are the unbelievers. It's just the same in the parable of the net. Now what we read here in Matthew 13, 47 to 50, this is the European Union Common Agricultural Policy, in summary. And you can see this, Hugh Fernley Whittingstall did a programme all about this, in fact I did a series of programmes about the Common Agricultural Policy and its stupidity, that fishermen are given quotas, so they can go and fish and they can go and harvest as many fish as they want from the sea, but they can't land everything. They have to go through their catch and say, ah, we've already caught too many of those, so we throw them back into the sea. Dead. And so, this is all in order to preserve fish stocks. You preserve fish stocks by throwing dead fish back in the sea. And Hugh was demonstrating the foolishness of this. Then he got one trawler. He arranged with them to do this. I think it was somewhere near Hastings where the seashore suddenly dropped very rapidly. And so the boat could come close to the shore. And they caught too many of one kind of fish. And so what they did, sailing close to the seashore, they threw them all into the sea, just a few yards offshore, and people could swim in and grab the fish and thus cook them and eat them. And so the fish weren't wasted. Unlike what the European Union wanted, they wanted them to be discarded, yes, but not to be consumed. No, that is verboten, not allowed. And he demonstrated the stupidity of this, and this is one of the many reasons, I think, that so many people voted to leave the EU. Whether we ultimately do or not, I think still remains to be seen after recent events. But that's by the by. The point is, with the parable of the net, discrimination is made between the good fish, the wanted fish, and the unwanted fish. A separation between the good and the bad. A separation between the righteous and the godless. And this is what's going to happen at the end of the age. This is indeed what Jesus speaks about later on, at the end of Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they will express surprise, and he'll explain it's the manner of their lives that demonstrates that they are true believers. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because the manner of your life demonstrated that you were unbelievers. Verse 46, then these, the goats, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. A separation is to be made between those who believe and those who do not believe. We do not know when the judgment will come. We do not know when we will leave this life. Therefore, it is vitally important that we determine here, now, today, whether we are amongst the godly who have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether we remain in our sins and are ungodly. We need to determine whether we are sheep or whether we are goats. This is vital. And it's vital we do it now, because tomorrow may not come. It may not come at all. The judgment may come this afternoon. Or it may be that we will not survive the afternoon and we will be taken off to the judgment. Where are you? We need to just pause for a moment and consider one reading of the parable of the weeds. Some people, when they quote John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world. Ah, they say, but God doesn't love everybody. God only loves the elect. God so loved the elect. And so they bring that erroneous interpretation into this parable. And so the field is the church, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And so therefore within a church you can have a complete mixed multitude. You can have believers and unbelievers all mixed in together. Don't do anything about removing the unbelievers, because that denies what Jesus said here. We should allow them to stay together. God will sort them out at the judgment. Because the world is the church. But it's not what it says. It says the world. But you find that Roman Catholicism would teach that. Much of Anglicanism would teach that. Certain varieties of Presbyterians would teach that. Because they have adopted this view that the world doesn't mean the world. It means the world of the elect. And you get unbelievers mixed in with the world of the elect, and so therefore you never practice church discipline. You never ask people whether they're true believers or not. If they come along, you just accept them. They might be wheat, they might be weeds, but one day God will sort it out, and that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we must be discriminating. The Bible says we are to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed them. And so we have to ask the question, has Christ received you? And if he hasn't, I'm sorry, but we can't welcome you into the fellowship of the church. We can talk to you, we can be nice to you, but you can't be a member of the church unless you have a genuine profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you get some who say, no, as long as someone puts their hand up and says, yeah, I'll be a member, then that's okay. No need to talk to them about any spiritual experience at all. And so I did hear a man who married a woman who was a member of a particular denomination. This denomination takes this view that the world is the church. This man made no profession of being a Christian at all. And inevitably, a child was born, and they wanted the child done. They wanted it to be baptized. And so they came along and they said to the minister, we'd like our child done. And they said, we can't do your child unless you're a member of the church. What do I need to do to be a member of the church? Well, here's a copy of this statement of faith, read that, tell me if you agree with it, and if you do, then you're in. Now, can you imagine how easy evangelism is? You just go round with a book and give the book to people. Excuse me. And you say to them, read that and tell me if you agree with it. And people will read the book. And they'll probably think to themselves, well, I agree with some of it, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I definitely don't agree with that. But I want my child done. So I'll say I agree with it. Oh, then you're in. And that's all that's needed. Until some awkward person, I have a friend who is an awkward person. I do have friends, even if they're awkward. Friend met him, discovered what his background was. Tell me how you were converted. So he told this story and said, yes, but when were you converted? And the man looked at him and said, well, what do you mean? When did you ever become aware of your sin and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find forgiveness from God? No one's ever told me that before. Well, you're not a Christian then. You might have standing within your church, but you have no standing with God. This parable is not about the church, it's about the world. And we leave the weeds in the world. God does not come along and remove people from the world because they're ungodly. Otherwise, what would have happened to us before we were converted? We'd all have been removed. No, the world will be cleansed at the end of the age when Christ returns and there is a separation made. And notice there is a separation to be made. This is not about inclusion. Oh dear, that's awful. We must be inclusive. I'm sorry, but God's not inclusive. God excludes those who refuse to repent and to believe. Jesus makes this plain. There are lots of people who say, I believe in Jesus. So you agree with this? Oh, Jesus didn't say that. So you don't believe in Jesus. Oh, I believe in the Jesus I believe in. Which is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus they've invented for themselves. So they can pretend that they are Christians when they are not. Jesus is speaking of the world. Jesus is speaking about the difference between those who repent and believe and those who do not. And we have to be aware that churches, true churches, while there may be professed believers within them, and we cannot know if they are genuine believers, we have to go on the basis of a profession of faith and godliness of life, and they may prove at the end to be unbelievers, but we work on the basis of professed believers. And we exclude those who are unbelievers, who do not give a credible profession, or who profess but are ungodly. And so churches cannot buy into this whole idea about inclusiveness. We accept anybody who repents and believes in the Lord Jesus. We will talk to anybody who will listen to the gospel. But we have to exclude from membership those who clearly do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are seeking to encourage those who believe and to proclaim the gospel to those outside who do not believe. And in so doing, we need to warn people of the danger of delaying repentance and faith, since we never know when the judgment will come. We never know when we will leave this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ, here, now, with open arms to all people, says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you have to come, you have to repent, and you have to believe. The message is always the same, and the message is here, now, to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus to become wheat, and thus to become sheep, and thus to have the kingdom of heaven here and now and all that it holds for future glory, when we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Let those of us here who has ears, let us hear.